Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Great day. How many of you have ever felt burdened down? You felt weary, struggling, fatigued? Put your hand up high. I think that's most people here in the room. And I think at one time or another, all of us feel that way. And there may even be some of you here this morning, you're feeling that way right now. Maybe you're watching online and you're feeling that way. You're feeling stressed, maybe so much you didn't want to leave your house. You just wanted to close yourself in and not leave because of what you're going through. Many times when we're struggling, we feel like if I just had an answer to my situation, like if it's a financial crisis, if I just had money, or if it's a relational issue, if I could just resolve this conflict, if we could just work things out. Sometimes if it's a sickness, it's like if God would just heal me of my injury or my sickness, then everything would be okay. If I had a lighter workload or I had more support at work, then I wouldn't be so overwhelmed. I wouldn't have to work so many hours and I could enjoy life and not be so just overwhelmed with all that I have to do. But the thing that we don't realize is that rest does not come from an external solution. Real rest does not come from an external solution. Because in all these situations, we're saying, if I had a better marriage, if I had a college education, if I had a better paying job, if I had my health, if. And friends, we don't have an if. We have a guarantee for rest that does not depend on external circumstances and situations. It depends on something totally different. Jesus understood this. And so when he's speaking to people who feel overwhelmed, worn out, exhausted, weary, burdened, he says, you can have rest. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it's interesting, when Jesus talks about having rest, he doesn't say, pray for deliverance. He doesn't say, pray for healing. He doesn't say, pray for provision or for protection. He doesn't tell them to pray. Instead, he says this, come to me, all you who are struggling and burdened. That word means feeling fatigued and weary. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many would like rest for your soul? That word means ease. It means refresh. How many could use some refreshing today? Amen. I think we all could use some refreshing. In your notes this morning, Jesus wants to give us soul rest. He wants to give us soul rest. Soul rest is the title of our message today. How can you and I, when all Hades is breaking loose around us, how can we have rest in our soul, in our inner man, a peace that passes all understanding? I want to welcome everyone today, including those who are online. And if you're here today and you want rest, I just want you to type in the chat, I want rest. Who wants rest this morning? Say it with me, I want rest. All right, you want rest. Just don't do it now, okay? Wait about 45 minutes, get home, then you can have your nap, all right? Just don't go resting right now. In Matthew 11, Jesus promises rest, but he shares three things that are involved in us receiving this rest. These three things are action verbs, or three actions you and I need to take. If you're taking notes this morning, number one is to come. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are struggling, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened down, and I will give you rest. That means we have to approach Jesus. To come to someone is to approach them, to draw closer to them. The reason he says that is because in his hands, he holds everything we need for peace, for joy, for protection, for provision, for comfort. Jesus is the only one who can give true and real, meaningful, lasting rest. There are two obstacles to coming to Jesus. Number one in your notes is many people are running from Jesus. They're running from Jesus, and this deals with our salvation. Instead of coming to Jesus, running to God, pursuing his presence, which is our theme for 2024, they're running from the presence of God. All of us are going to die someday. They say there's two things that are certain. What are they? Death and taxes. You got it. You can't escape taxes unless you don't make a whole lot of money, which isn't very good. But you cannot escape death. It's not like, okay, I can just live a minimum life and not die, just like if I earn a minimal income. No, everybody will die someday. In Scripture, we see there's two types of death. Because God told Adam and Eve in the garden, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. This is forbidden fruit. Don't eat it. They ate it. Well, they didn't keel over dead at the time. They still lived. So what was the death God was talking about? You see, the two types of death, one is physical, the kind that we normally think of when we think of death, when our heart stops pumping, the lungs stop breathing, we take our last breath, and boom, we hit the ground, we're gone. That's physical death. But there's also spiritual death. That's what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden, because up to that point, it says God walked with them in the cool of the day. He conversed with them. But when they sinned and God came walking, they didn't come to Jesus. They ran from the presence of the Lord. They were afraid. They knew they were guilty. And there are many people today who are running from God. Instead of moving towards God, they're moving away from him. And you and I cannot find rest if we are running from God. There's many reasons people run from God. Sometimes they run because they feel unworthy. They've committed something or many things that they feel they're so bad, they're so unworthy, there's no way God could ever, ever receive them. So they don't approach him. They don't try to come to Jesus. They walk away. They run away from him. Sometimes people just want to live life the way they want to live. They pull the Frank Sinatra. I'll do it my way. I don't care about your way. People pursue different things, and they run away from God instead of pursuing God. Elvis Presley, many people maybe don't realize this, but he grew up in a Pentecostal church singing gospel music. But he ran away from God instead of running to God. In 1958, he was 23 years old. After an Easter service, he told his pastor, James Hamill in Memphis, Tennessee, "Pastor, I'm the most miserable young man you've ever seen. I've got all the money I'll ever need to spend. I've got millions of fans, I've got friends, but I'm not doing what you taught me to do, I'm doing what you taught me not to do, and I'm not doing the things you taught me to do." 23 years old, he knew he was running away from God and his ways. What's sad is that almost 20 years later, in 1976, December, Elvis requested an audience with TV evangelist Rex Humbard and his wife, Maude Amy. They were at one of his shows in Vegas, and he said, in between one of the sets when there's a rest, "I'd like to meet with him." He saw them, and so they gathered him together, and as they're talking, Elvis says to Rex, he says, "You know, don't you think Jesus is coming really soon, Rex?" And Rex says, "Yes, I do." And Elvis begins to quote Scripture from the Old and New Testament about the return of Jesus. And then Maude Amy said something that really shook Elvis. She said to him, "Elvis, I am praying that you would be a bell sheep for God." And Elvis says, "What do you mean? What's a bell sheep?" And she said, "In the Holy Land, they put a bell on one sheep, and when it moves, all the rest of the flock moves with him. I've been praying for years for you, Elvis, that you would become a bell sheep. If you fully dedicated your life to God, you could lead millions of people into the kingdom of the Lord. And according to Rex, Elvis went all to pieces. He started crying. It really shook him up. And they prayed with Elvis right there to rededicate his life to Christ, December of 1976. 8 months later, for his last show in Las Vegas, during his last engagement, Elvis wrote a letter on a notepad of the Hilton Hotel by his bedside. They retrieved it from a wastebasket, and these were the words in the note. "Help me, Lord, to get through all of this. I'm so tired of it. I think I would like to sleep forever. But rest does not come easy for me. Show me a way out from these problems. I want..." And that's where the letter ended. Not finished. And sometime after that, Elvis Presley died. He couldn't escape it. Friends, coming to Jesus is not just praying a prayer. It is an action. It is surrendering your life to Christ. Elvis knew the way. He knew the scripture. He believed it. But he didn't come. He did things his own way, and he struggled. He so much wanted rest, but he couldn't find it. And this morning, I just want to pause and ask you, are you running from God? I'd like everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. No, we're not wrapping up. I know we usually do this at the end of the service, but I felt like God wanted to pause right now. And I ask you, are you ready to die? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Or would you be separated from God, spending eternity in hell? You see, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. You won't perish and go to hell and everlasting torment. You'll have everlasting life and a relationship with God now. You can experience his love. When we recognize we're sinners, that we've gone our own way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we turn from our sin, and we surrender our lives to the leadership of Jesus Christ, when we say, "Jesus, I'm going to come and follow you, not follow my ways, but follow you," you can be saved. So how many here this morning, whether you're here in person or watching online, God's speaking to you right now, and you'd say, "I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stop procrastinating. I want to come to Jesus. I need to ask for his forgiveness. I need to ask for his leadership." If that's you with no one looking around, would you just raise your hand? Say, "I need God's forgiveness. I want him to forgive me. I want a relationship with him." Thank you. Thank you. Many hands going up. Anyone else this morning, God's speaking to you today, you'd say, "I want to get right with God. I want that relationship with him." Thank you. I see that hand on the side. How about you watching online? Is God speaking to you today? Is he saying it's time to stop running? "I want you to come to me." See, God's never stopped reaching out to you. He is always there inviting you to come, inviting all of us to come. Just put your hand up if you're watching us online this morning. Anyone else in the house, God's speaking to you, you'd say, "I want to come to Jesus." Put your hand up and you can put it back down. I want to pray this morning. All of us praying together, no one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I won't run anymore. I'm coming to you. Forgive me of my sin. I accept your forgiveness and your leadership. I commit my life to follow you. Thank you for loving me and dying for me. I will live for you. Amen." Amen. Can we celebrate with those that have come to Jesus today? Amen. As you have come to Jesus, he wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to grow in that relationship. And we have a book we'd love to give you. What I'd like you to do, if you raised your hand, there is a card in front of you. Before you leave today, take that card out. Halfway down, there's a box that says, I received Christ. Check it off. Fill out the card. And then after service, before you get your coffee, cookies, and treats, go to the welcome banner, the welcome table, and we'll get you that book. Turn that card in. I also encourage you on that card, if you'd like to get baptized, we're having a baptism service in a few weeks, I would like you to write on there, I want to get baptized, because Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations and then baptize them. Baptism is a sign that I'm no longer following my own ways. I'm going to come to Jesus and follow him. So I encourage you, if you'd like to be baptized, check. Just write that on the card, and then we'll get in touch with you about that. Thank you, Lord. Can we just praise God again for those who came in today? Amen. Amen. Now, there is another obstacle to coming to Jesus, and this is for Christ followers. The running dealt with your salvation. But the obstacle for Christ followers not coming to Jesus is racing through life. It's racing through life. And this deals with our spiritual intimacy. I've known Christians who are filled with anxiety, frustration, worry, burden, struggled. And they'll say, man, I don't know what to do. And I'll talk to them. I'll say, well, tell me about your spiritual walk. Tell me how you're pursuing God. And in almost every circumstance, well, I've stopped praying. I've stopped reading my Bible. I used to do those things regularly, but now it's not really part of my life anymore. And friends, we need to come to Jesus daily. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. We need to come every day. And it's so easy to race through life, being so busy with so many things. They can be good things, family. It can be making money. Maybe you don't have that great of a job and you have to work 2-3 jobs just to support your family. And you feel like, I don't have the time. Do you realize that even pastors can be so busy with ministry that they stop coming to Jesus? They stop praying. They stop being in the Word of God. I prioritize that every morning, coming to Jesus because I need it. Because I know what it's like not to come to Jesus. When I was a kid, I would come to church, and my coming to Jesus time was just coming to church. I didn't spend time in prayer and the Word. And after a week or maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, I was feeling so dry, feeling so empty. I'd feel riled up. It's like, oh, God, I need your help. And I'd come and I'd pray and read the Word, and I'd do it for a few days. And okay, I'm feeling good. I'm filling the spiritual gas tank. Yeah, it's going good. I'm coming to Jesus and like, okay, life's good and I don't need to do it. I'm racing off now, doing my sports and my activities and my homework and my friends and all this other stuff. And then I feel weighed down. I'm feeling weary and heavy burden. I'm feeling empty and dry. So I start coming to Jesus again. And I kept doing this yo-yo back and forth of coming and then racing, coming and racing away, coming and racing away. Friends, you will not have rest the way Jesus intended you to have it if you're not coming to him. In your notes this morning, it says, we won't have rest until we invest. You need to invest in your spiritual life. You do that through three things: worship, word, and prayer. Write those down. Worship, word, and prayer. You need to be worshiping God. I like to get out my cell phone in the morning, pick a worship song and play it and just worship along with it. Be kneeled down and just worship God. Lift my hands, praise him, sing to him. I spend time worshiping him. And then I get into the Word and I pray. Prayer is all you do is you talk to God. If you feel like you don't know how to read the Word or pray, I encourage you to sign up for Growth Track. You can see Sunny at our Connect Group booth out there for the Ministry Expo today. You can sign up for that. The first 4 Sundays of September, 9 o'clock, we're going to teach you how to get in the Word, how to pray, how to get something out of the Bible, and how to develop your spiritual intimacy, because there is no rest if you don't invest. There is a great psalm, a word in Isaiah 51, verse 3, and it says, the Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Friends, when I consistently get into God's word and worship and pray, I feel like that verse takes place in my life. Those wasteland areas, God makes them rich. It's like the garden of God. There is comfort. There is singing. There's thanksgiving. Now, not every time do I walk away feeling, woo! But I tell you, when you do it day after day after day, it does matter. You miss one day of meeting with God, God knows about it. You miss 2 days of meeting with God, you're going to know about it. You miss 3 days of meeting with God, and probably everybody else around you is going to know about it. We need to come to Jesus instead of just racing through life with our school. How many students are ready for school? There's a few of you. Yeah, most of you are not. I get that. I don't want summer to end. You can race through school, students, and not take time. Develop now in your teen years, elementary, middle school, high school years, the practice of coming to God. Do it now. Don't get so caught up racing to work, making a career, being involved in all these different activities that you don't come to Jesus. Develop your spiritual intimacy because there is no rest if you don't invest. All right, that's the first action. Everybody say, what is it? We need to come to Jesus, all right? How many are coming to Jesus? Good, you've had your come to Jesus moment today, all right? Number two, the second action Jesus says we need to take for rest, and that is to take. We need to take Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. So to receive rest, we have to take something. What does Jesus say to take? A yoke. He's not talking about an egg, all right? He's talking about a piece of wood that's put across the necks of two drafting animals, oxen, donkeys, cattle, and they would pull a load. Maybe it's a wagon. Maybe it's a plow. Maybe it's some other kind of burden or bundle. And what I find interesting is when Jesus is speaking to people who are burdened and carrying a load, he says the way to rest is to carry my load. Take my yoke upon you and carry what I have for you. What's interesting, you know, doesn't that seem contradictory? To me, I think if I'm going to have rest, I want to get rid of the load. You see, rest does not come from abdicating your responsibility. It doesn't come from binge-watching a Netflix series. It doesn't come from playing a 24-hour marathon of video games. It doesn't come from going on a six-month vacation. Rest does not come from physical means. We need to take the yoke of Jesus upon us. Now, what does that mean? What's interesting is many times in the Bible, an older animal was yoked with a younger animal. And they'd put the yoke on both of them, and they, as they would pull the plow through the field or maybe carry the wagon load, it was training the younger animal. The older oxen was training the younger oxen how to pull the load. And you know who was doing most of the work? The older one, the bigger one, the stronger one. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke. I have a yoke I'm wearing, and I want you to take it and walk with me. So what does that mean in your notes? Taking Christ's yoke, letter A, we're teamed up with Jesus. Isn't that a great thought? I'm teamed up with Jesus. I am partnered with Jesus. We're together, and you know what? He's doing the heavy lifting. He's pulling most of the load. Yes, I have to pull some. I have to pull my weight, but he is my burden bearer. He says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, and I will sustain you as you come to Jesus, casting your cares, seeking him in intimacy. And then you say, Jesus, I want to team up with you, want to partner with you and take the yoke that you have for me. we find rest. But it's not just teaming up with Jesus that's involved in a yoke. There's a second thing. Letter B in your notes. It implies there is work to be done. Oh, some of you say, that's a swear word. Work? No, it's not. Do you realize when Adam was in the garden, God gave him work to do? To tend the garden? Work is, I was going to say it's not a four-letter word, but it actually is a four-letter word, okay? But it's a good four-letter word. There's not many of those around, you know. Rain is a good four-letter word. But no, we need to do a work. Finding rest doesn't mean that you just sit in a hammock and, you know, laze around all day sipping lemonade. No, there is a work Jesus wants you and I to do. It is an inner work. There is an inner work that Jesus wants to do where we team up with Jesus and allow him to work on our character. We allow him to work on our attitudes. We allow him to work on how we treat other people, our spouse, our kids, our enemies, those who see things politically different. And we'll get back to the mindset election series next week. We'll wrap it up then. But God wants us to treat people differently. God wants to work on our character because here's the thing. There are many people, as they look at Christians, they've seen hypocrites. And they say, if that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I want nothing of it. But when people look at us, they should see people that are humble, that are confident, that are selfless, that are serving, that are compassionate, that are caring, that are grateful, not negative, not critical, not judgmental. They see the character of Jesus being fleshed out in us because he's conforming us to his image. We're allowing him to do that work. And as he does that work, people say, man, there's something different about you. What is that difference? And maybe they'll know you go to church. Maybe they know you're a Christ follower. And you will win them with your witness, with how you live. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. You see, and I think we do need to use words. There's too many silent Christians out there. We need to speak up, but we do that with a kingdom mindset, speaking the truth in love like we've been talking about the past few weeks. But more importantly, our walk needs to match our talk. Because if it doesn't, our talk will mean absolutely nothing. And so we need to yoke up with Jesus to allow him to do an inner work in our character. When you come to Jesus and you pray, don't just give him your laundry list of needs. God, help us find great deals on back-to-school clothing. God, help get our air conditioner running quick. You know, don't just say what you need. Say, God, work on my character. Show me the things in my life that aren't pleasing to you, that are being obstacles to others, maybe putting up something and they see it and they're running from God because of my witness. God, help me be a reflection of you. That's what we need to pray as we come to Jesus. Take his yoke and let him do a work in us. But then there's also an outer work. An outer work for the kingdom of God. You see, part of the work that Jesus once accomplished is working the kingdom in us, but then that we work the kingdom in others where we help all people to find and follow Jesus. They come to Christ and we have a work, and when they're following him, we help them grow. That's why we're having the Ministry Expo today. Because we believe that God has a part for every person in the body of Christ to play. If Radius is your home church, then you need to be serving in ministry. Okay, ministry leaders, that was a great place for an amen. Are you resting on me this morning? Let's try it again. If you are a regular part of Radius, you need to be serving in ministry. All right, there you go. Yeah, because we're part of a body. I want you to, everyone, take your hands and just flash them around, right, and kick your feet, all right? Just start moving, shake your head back and forth, okay? Your whole body has a part to play. Your fingernails, your hands, your knuckles, your elbows, your tear ducts, your ears, everything about our bodies has a part. And if you're part of the body of Christ, you have a part to play. You have a role. You have a responsibility. Peter said, in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How many have received at least one gift? What does it say? Read it. Read the first three words. As each one. All right? Who's excluded in that? Nobody. As each and every one of you have received a gift, minister it to one another. Serve. That word minister means to serve. You are gifted. I want you to say, I'm gifted. Look at your neighbor and say, you're gifted. If you're watching online, type in on the chat, I'm gifted. We are gifted, and we're to take those gifts and use them in ministry. So if you're not serving in a ministry, we're giving you an opportunity to explore our ministries. There will be people at the booths to explain it. We have ministry descriptions, what's involved, what are the qualifications, what are the responsibilities, the expectations. Take it home, read about it, pray for it. Maybe God's been speaking to you for a while and you know you need to get involved. This is your chance. If this is your church, you need to be serving. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction because each one has received a gift and we're to serve and minister to it. All right, done with the promotion. All right, here we go. Let's go on. We've so far learned if we want rest, we need to come to Jesus, not run, and we need to pursue spiritual intimacy. We need to take his yoke. Let him do an inner work in our character and then say, Jesus, I want to do an outer work for you. I want to serve and partner with you. Because I tell you, when you are doing what God wants you to do, there's joy that comes from that. There's joy that comes from that. But then there's a third thing that is involved in rest. A third action to take, and that is to learn. Matthew 11, 28 again. Come to me, all you who are struggling and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says, learn from me. Jesus wants to teach us. Do you realize that? Jesus wants to teach you and me. Those online in the chat section, just say, Jesus wants to teach me. You say it again. You say it here. Jesus wants to teach me. We are to learn from him. So how does Jesus do that? Right before he was crucified, he told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace, you can think of rest, I leave with you. He says, you need to learn from me, but now I'm going and the Holy Spirit has come. He'll be your teacher. You need to learn from him and you will have peace. You will have rest as you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Every Christ follower can be taught by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us can hear the voice of God. God says that we can learn from him. If it wasn't possible, he wouldn't do it. George Washington Carver, he was a scientist around the turn of the 20th century, and in the South, their agricultural economy was decimated because of the boll weevil infestation that destroyed the cotton crop. And the soil was be depleting of nutrients because the farmers didn't rotate the crops. Year after year, they planted cotton. Carver, one of the most brilliant scientific minds of the 20th century, introduced the concept of crop rotation and encouraged farmers to plant peanuts instead of cotton. The rotation of the crops of peanuts began to replenish the soil and enrich it, but it did not revive the economy because there wasn't a great market for peanuts. So there were warehouses filled with a huge supply of peanuts, but there was no great demand for peanuts. And the farmers were frustrated. They complained to Carver, so what he did, what he'd always done, he came to Jesus. He took a long walk and had a long talk with God. He routinely got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, walked through the woods, and he would ask God to reveal the mysteries of nature. Job chapter 12, verses 7 and 8 was one of the most circled promises in his Bible. It says, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you." Carver took that promise at face value, and he literally asked God to reveal the mysteries of nature. God answered his prayer. Carver is famous for discovering more than 300 uses for the peanut. Did you realize there aren't many uses for the peanut? There are. But the genesis of the revelation of all of those discoveries boils down to a single conversation with God that he had on one of his walks. Carver shares the story this way. He says, "I asked God, 'Why'd you make the universe, Lord?' God replied, 'Ask for something more in proportion to that little mind of yours.' 'Well, why did you make the earth, Lord?' I asked. 'Your little mind still wants to know far too much. Ask for something more in proportion to that little mind of yours,' replied God. 'Why did you make man, Lord?' I asked. 'Far too much, far too much. Ask again,' replied God. 'Well, explain to me why you made the plants.' 'Your little mind still wants to know far too much.' 'The peanut,' I asked meekly. "'Yes, for your modest proportions, I will grant you the mystery of the peanut. Take it inside your laboratory and separate it into water, fats, oils, gums, resins, sugars, starches, and amino acids. Then recombine these under my three laws of compatibility, temperature, and pressure. Then you will know why I made the peanut.'" On January 20th of 1921, George Washington Carver testified before the House Ways and Means Committee on behalf of the United Peanut Association of America. The chairman, Joseph Fortney of Michigan, told him, "You've got 10 minutes. 1 hour and 40 minutes later, the committee told Carver he could come back whenever he wanted and take as much time as he wanted. He had mesmerized the committee by demonstrating the myriad ingenious uses for the peanut, everything from glue to shaving cream to soap to insecticide to cosmetics to wood stains to fertilizer to linoleum to Worcester sauce. So the next time you stain your deck or your fence, the next time that you get a PB&J sandwich, think of how George Washington Carver was instrumental to that discovery. And it all came about because he came to Jesus, and then he asked a question, and he listened, and he learned." You see, this is very practical. There are some of you here today, you're in financial bondage, and you would love to be financially free. If you come to Jesus and say, "Teach me how to be financially free, how to have blessing and prosperity, instead of feeling like that, I'm always overwhelmed, that I'm always under budget, I'm always under the gun," God will teach you those things. He'll lead you to books, lead you to people. He'll show you things yourself. If you're struggling with your health, you can say, "God, teach me what to do for my health issue." If you're struggling with a relationship, a situation at work, conflict resolution, "God, teach me how to deal with conflict effectively." God is so practical. But so many times in our coming to Jesus, our prayer life, we do all the talking and we don't do any learning. God wants to teach us. He wants to be practical. And there might be some of you who'd say, "I don't know. I don't know if I can hear the voice of God. Does God really want to speak to us?" Look what Isaiah said. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5. "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." You see, God wants us to learn so that others who are weary can find rest. It's not just about you and me finding rest. It's about there is an external kingdom work that God wants all people to find rest, and we're partnering with him in that. It goes on to say, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Friends, that's a promise you can stand on. God, every morning you awaken me, and you're awakening my ears to hear as a learned person, as an educated person. God will educate you. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. God will teach you profitable things. He will lead you. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. There have been situations in my life where the Holy Spirit has whispered something to me. Don't do that. Pick this up. Make this phone call. And it's beneficial if I do. There's times I don't. And sometimes it results in things going wrong. It's like, man, it was a little small voice and I ignored it. God, help me to hear your voice throughout the day. You see, yoking with Jesus means that we're teamed with him. And as we have to go to school or go to work or be with family or whatever it is, go to a meeting, we are yoked with him. We're walking with him. His yoke is easy, and he's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. He's talking to us, communicating with us. We're learning from him. We're being taught. We're growing. Come, take, learn, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you will help us to come, to stop running or racing, to take your yoke, an inner and outer work that you have for us, and that we would learn. We would be students who want you to teach us. Give us such a rich relationship with you that results in rest for our souls. There's some of you this morning, you've been racing through life, you've been neglecting pursuing the presence of God. You're not investing in your relationship with Jesus. You're not regularly in the Word, in worship, in prayer. You need to develop that habit so you can have rest. How many this morning would say, that's me, Craig, I'm going to stop racing, I'm going to come, I need to develop spiritual intimacy in my life? I'd like you to put your hand up and then put it down. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Many hands going up. Anyone else this morning? God's speaking to you about developing spiritual disciplines, the habits that'll make you strong and rich in Christ. Anyone else this morning? There's some of you, thank you. Some of you here today, God's speaking to you about taking up the yoke. Maybe it's an inner yoke of allowing God to work on your character. Maybe there's people you know you need to forgive. Maybe there's habits. Maybe there's addictions, things you're holding on to, and you need to let go of those and take the yoke and say, Jesus, work on my character. Or maybe it's an outer yoke. You need to start serving. You need to start saying, God, how can I partner with you in reaching other people, helping all people to find and follow Jesus? God, how do I need to be serving in the church? How many this morning, God is speaking to you about taking the yoke upon you, an inner or an outer work? Put your hand up high this morning. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Thank you for that. And finally, some of you today, maybe you doubt that God can speak to you. You really doubt, can I hear from God? Can I learn? I want to hear the voice of God, but I don't know. And the devil's telling you it's impossible. God says it is possible. You just need to pray and ask God to be still and hear his voice. You're testing those impressions with the Word of God. If you're not sure, you go to people that are wise Christians, people that can attest the spirits and help you discern if you're hearing the voice of God. And this is practical. Some of you would say, I need help to learn in my marriage or in finances or my health. Maybe it's in dealing with conflict. It's dealing with various situations in life. Maybe you want to know about the peanut or about the gladiola. I don't know. Maybe there's something specific. There's a subject in school you struggle with, geometry. You say, God, I need to learn. Open my mind. Open my ears. If you want God to teach you, there's something you want God to help you to learn, I'd like you to raise your hand today. Just put your hand up. Maybe it's time management, financial management. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? I want you to stand with me today. Our worship team is going to sing this song. It's about trusting God. And I want you to trust God that He's going to help you to stop racing and develop those habits. You're going to trust God to develop the character. Trust God to help you accomplish the outer kingdom work He wants you to do. You're going to trust God that He's going to help you to learn the things that His Spirit wants to teach you. The Spirit can teach us how many things? All things. Come, take, and learn. Let's just enter His presence. Let's come to Him today and thank Him for helping us.
Trusting God, my Savior, the one.
Just close your eyes for a moment. How many of you are feeling weary and heavy burdened, struggling, weighed down, fatigued? Just put your hand up this morning. I want to pray for you. We've just sang a song about I trust in God. He'll never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. Those are promises you can take today. Father, I pray for everyone right now who's feeling the weight of life, of sickness, of depression, of discouragement, God, of conflict, God, the heaviness of financial bondage, God, the heaviness of addiction, God, the heaviness of just the regular cares and worries of life, of racing, of having too much to do and not enough time to do it. God, I pray that every situation right now, they would cast their care upon You and You will sustain them. I thank You, Jesus, that You are the Lord God Almighty, that we can trust You. You never fail. And as the psalmist said, I sought the Lord. He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Deliver from every fear, every concern that's here this morning. Everyone who's struggling online, give them hope. Give them peace. Give them joy. God, fill us to overflowing. Give us rest in our souls. Help us to come. Help us to take. Help us to learn. Walk with us, God, as we are yoked with You. Partner with us all day long, Holy Spirit. God, we want Your presence. We need Your presence. We pursue Your presence, oh God. Help us to be sensitive to Your still small voice always with us. Oh, give us a closer walk with You. God, give peace, rest, and joy. Let Your kingdom be built of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. I want You to thank Him for rest right now. Thank Him that You can trust Him. We praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. May you go in the peace, rest, and joy of the Holy Spirit as you come, take, and learn all throughout the week. Hey, God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.